flat out honest with you, this is one of my favorite episodes that we've done all year because I just get to riff with my buddy Dan Rosen from NHL.com. We have three non-playoff teams from a year ago topping divisions right now. How many will hold on? I'm going to tell Dan why he's wrong. And then we get into McDavid, Robertson, and Marner. There's a debate in there, but you have to listen to find out what it is. It's the Chirp with Darren Millard.
Boys, I'm Mike today. Just let everyone know, don't say anything stupid.
Huts up! Oh, how'd that feel, old man?
Hit him, light him up.
Yeah, nice hit.
That's solid.
That's a disgrace.
We've gone past to present and been all over the place, covered a bunch of different generations over the last few weeks on The Chirp with Darren Millard. Right now, we're going to dive into the present in the National Hockey League with the senior writer for the NHL.com, Dan Rosen, who's the co-host for At The Rink podcast. Really, he's the host, but he won't let me call him the real host because that'll offend people and then I'll get in trouble and Dan will be called to the carpet. But hey, good to see you, buddy.
I mean, you can call me the real host. I'm not offended by that. I think it's Bob Bender, you know, producer extraordinaire, who wouldn't like that too much. I don't even think Sean Rourke would care.
No,
that much.
Sean gets all huffy about this stuff. I've been around Sean enough.
Yeah. He's very big on titles.
Yeah. When you ask three questions in a row on At The Rink, you can tell, I can hear him in the background. Like he gets all puffy and the ego comes out. So Sean, just relax. Okay.
I've been telling him to relax for a long time.
Yeah. Man of Steel, Dan Rosen is with us. So I'm going to phrase it because I do a lot of interviews on The Chirp. I want this to be more back and forth, but I'm going to raise some topics, which I definitely have opinions on. I'm curious because you're an East Coast guy and I'm a Western Conference dude, where we are in our assumptions of the National Hockey League. We have four division leaders right now in New Jersey, Boston, Vegas, and Winnipeg. How many of those four will be division winners at the end of the year?
Three of them. I think Winnipeg
really
drops. Yeah, I do. I am a firm believer now in the New Jersey Devils. I really am. Here's why. So that you watch how they play. They play fast. They move the puck so well. They roll four lines at you. Their goaltending's holding up really, really well. They have excellent defense pairs, balance on their D. They got, you know, lefties who are big stay-at-home type guys, righties who move the puck, but they all have size. Like Brendan Smith's the smallest one on that D pair, and he's not a small guy. So size, speed, skill. I am a big believer now in the New Jersey Devils. But the biggest reason why is when they lose a game, they come right back with a really strong performance. So they don't lose very often, right? They lose that game against Toronto, and it was ugly, right? I mean, they had three goals taken back. People were throwing stuff on the ice. No good. That could have sent them in a different direction. They come back with a couple of strong performances in a row. They win their next three or four games. They blow a lead late against Nashville. They lose that game. They've come back with strong performances. Each time they lose, they come back with strong performances. That's a sign of a really good team in my mind. Like they're not letting it linger around for a while. And so I like them. Boston to me is for real. I mean, it might be the last ride of the Boston Bruins as we know them, who knows, but it's a good ride. And I don't know that, you know, Toronto's a team that could come up, but I'm still like, you know, it's Matt Murray, you know, like, are we really buying all in? You know, he's been really good now. Are we really buying all in? And you'll hear it on At The Rink, Sean Rourke, my co-host. Well,
he's a bit of an egomaniac.
Yeah, the other guy. Okay. He did bring up the fact, and he's right about this, and he's not often, 44 shots against in their win against Dallas, 4-0, 17 on the power play. They were on the PK seven times. It's not really a sustainable model, but they win. And Marner's been great. But I still think the Bruins are a sustainable model. And Vegas looks really good. And I just don't know of a team in that division that's good enough right now to jump up and catch them. Like, you know, who's going to go on that run? So I don't see that either. But Winnipeg, they keep getting it done. They keep winning. And I got to give them a lot of credit for doing it. But you look at the division. I like Dallas. I mean, Colorado's going to get healthy eventually. And
I don't know about that. I really don't know because
if they don't get healthy, that's a big problem. Yeah. But if if they don't get healthy, they're Vegas from last year.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's
it's just bizarre. And when I say I don't know about that, it's just surreal what's happened.
It's kind of weird that it keeps. They're not just losing guys. They're losing like major players. Mm-hmm. The McKinnon loss is that's a huge blow. Like that's now is the real challenge for the next 4 weeks. And they're going to get guys back like Nichushkin skating. He's going to get back. A couple other guys are going to get back here soon enough. Dallas is really good. Nashville's coming on. Minnesota's playing better. I think it could be hard for Winnipeg to continue to stay in that spot and keep winning the way they're winning. I think a lot of it is carried by Hellebuck. He's been really good and they are getting the job done. And it's just, the other teams around them are really good too. So that's why I look at it. I say three of the four, the Devils are probably the surprising one. Maybe you say the Bruins are the surprising one with the way the Leafs are playing too, but the Devils are the surprising one, but I'm bought in on what the Devils are in the regular season. I'm not so sure on the playoffs yet.
That's twice you've defended the Devils in being in like that group. And you're defending them by being a slam dunk to be the regular season winners in the division, but it doesn't sound like you're totally convinced. And no, I just think Carolina's going to find it at some point to get it together.
Well, it's not like Carolina doesn't have it together.
No, but on one of those big runs, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, are the Hurricanes good enough offensively to go on one of those real big runs? That's
I think so.
They're good. They're 4-0-4 in their last 8 road games. I think they're 4-0-2 in their last 6 overall. They continue to just get points. They just get points. But again, I go back to what I said about the Devils. We're more than a quarter of the way into the season now, and this team responds really, really well. And the other thing about the Devils is anybody that plays them now is blown away by how fast they play. It's not necessarily their speed, the way they skate. It's how fast they make plays. And Jack Hughes is at another level. He's taken his game to another level. And you watch the shift where it was almost impossible to get the puck off of his.
Yep.
Granted, it's the Blackhawks who are really struggling. And
they
and
don't get the Blackhawks shade here.
Yeah, look, Hughes is, he's become a player where he's so skilled, but he's also really hard on the puck too.
They've got house money, New Jersey. I'm sorry. It's house money and there's no pressure on them. And they've had a marvelous year. I love it. They don't win the division. Boston doesn't win the division. Toronto's going to win the President's Trophy. I said at the start of the year. And why I'm saying that right now is because I said it at the start of the year and I have to stick to it.
Yeah, you have to stick. Well,
but Toronto, I don't think that they've really hit their stride yet. They're just goofing around through the first quarter of the season. And it was tragedy off the 5-game road trip out west. And they figured that out. And they're just having fun right now. And they're still right there.
So I think
there's changes in both those divisions.
So I'll toss this out at Toronto. Okay. So what? Right?
Right.
So what if they win the division?
But I didn't ask you whether they were going to win the two rounds. I just want to know whether.
I think that's one of the key things, though, for them is the fact that if they really dig in to the details of their game that are going to help them in the playoffs, it actually might hurt them in the regular season a little bit. Like, you mentioned it, right? So they're just kind of fooling around a little bit, getting goals, this, that, and the other, the puck's going in, Marner's every time he touches it, it turns to gold, all that, right? That's great. It's what we've seen from the Leafs for like 3, 4, 5 years now.
Right.
If they really dig in the next couple of months, they're going to lose some games that you're looking at and saying, maybe they should have won, but they've given themselves a cushion to be able to do that. That's what good teams do. That's what the Tampa Bay Lightning have done for years, right?
Yeah.
Is they dig in on details and they say, hey, we'll take that loss if it means it makes us better down the road. Toronto's got to get better down the road. And it might have to be, if they do it the right way, it might have to be taking a loss here and there.
You're right about the shots against the Dallas Stars. Dallas, I think, set a record for most shot attempts in a game being shut out. Like that's how lopsided that was. First of all, I can't believe that stat exists. But the other thing is that's really lopsided and they get away with it. But the trial and error and the challenges that Toronto went through at the start of the year, I think will benefit them down the road. I just see them as a more deeper talented team. Boston's been incredible. Their size and being able to put the perfection line back together whenever they want, and Krejci being back, and they've got something going with Ullmark and Swayman. I think that there's real potential there. Montgomery's obviously given. Monty's done a great job there. I just don't. Last ride, you brought it up.
Yeah.
The window. Like, this was supposed to be not the last ride to success. It was last ride to really be competitive. They've overachieved so far. I don't know whether it's sustainable.
I'll keep saying last ride until it is, because I don't know when it's going to be, actually, but this one could be, you know. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's the last ride until Bergeron's done, you know, and then things change so much. But Bergeron's been a terrific player. That's the most amazing thing, right, about the Bruins going into this season. You didn't know if, there were questions in the offseason about Bergeron. We knew about the surgeries to the other guys, McAvoy, Marchand, Grizzlick, all that. New coach after a very popular coach was let go. It was like, wait a minute, hold on. Things are going the wrong way here. And all these guys do is go out and win. I mean, it's all
you know who they're supposed to be? They're supposed to be Washington.
Yeah, Washington is Washington. Grind, that's what they're supposed to be.
Trying to grind through the early season injuries and the adversity. Instead, they've had a home dominated schedule, and they've been amazing at home. So I don't want to make it sound like I'm cherry picking great success, but they've done everything they needed to do at home to make it work. I see Toronto as the deeper team. Does Tampa have any gas left to make a challenge in that division?
Well, I think Tampa's got a lot of gas left, but Tampa to me doesn't care if it wins the division. And that's been the way it's been for a long time there for the Lightning is, you know, they had that dominant season and President's Trophy history, all that stuff. And then they got swept by the Blue Jackets. And, you know, obviously they've been incredible since, but they haven't been incredible necessarily in the regular season. They've been good enough, obviously. But to me, the Lightning are one of those teams that, like, we know we're going to be there in the end. Let's get there to the point where we know we can be clicking and playing multiple different types of styles of play if we need to. That's Toronto. That's what Toronto has to do, right? I mean, that's the recipe for success in the playoffs is being able to play certain different ways. And that's why I think Toronto might have to go into a game one of these times and be like, you know what, we're locking it down. That's what our game plan is today. Just lock it down. And it might end up with a 2-1 loss, but they might learn from it and be better because of it.
On the subject of last ride, the National Finals Rodeo, NFR, is in Vegas right now. A big, big rodeo week with all kinds of concerts. So, well, let's go to Vegas. I just don't think...
You getting paid?
I do like my rodeo. I do. Right. Out of the shoot, 8 seconds, and then you're done. That's my sport right there.
All right.
8 seconds. But I don't want the bull. I'll take the saddle, Bronc. I don't want any of the other stuff. That's too dangerous.
You are speaking another language to a Jersey guy like me. You might as well. I don't know. Understand any of that. I know the.
Have you ever been to a rodeo?
No, I've never been to a rodeo, and I know 8 seconds because there was a movie. That's it.
That's it. That's it. So, how many before we get to, how many rodeo events could you name? Like divisions.
Which one did you just name?
I named bull riding.
Yeah.
Saddle bronc.
All right, bull riding, saddle bronc. I got two.
Bareback. Team roping. Back,
three.
Calf roping.
I can name them all. You keep going.
I'd love to see Rosen as a mutton bustin'. They have the rodeo for the kids where they come out on sheep and they ride the sheep and they eventually get tossed off. I'd love to see you do that.
Yeah, I can't do any of that. I can't Vegas, name any of these.
Seattle's been a great story a year later. If this was last year, that's all we'd be talking about right now.
Yeah.
They're in contention. I don't know whether the swoon starting after the great run or not. They got away with a couple of things, which everybody does. Calgary, Edmonton, I expected more from so far. I don't know whether they're going to be able to make, whether Vegas is going to have enough of a fallback to bring those teams in when it comes to winning a division.
Well, I don't think they will. Like, I don't think Vegas drops enough to where any of those teams can pick up enough. Like, I like Edmonton. I do. Mm-hmm. They were my team to win. I picked them to win the Stanley Cup at the start of the season. And I'm not jumping off of that right now because I still think that they're okay. You know, and
like there's nothing wrong with being wrong, Dad. So that's okay.
That is true. That is true. But I think they're okay. I expect more. You still need to see more. We know I think the Evander Kane injury really has hurt them because we talk a lot about McDavid and Draisaitl and all the need for secondary scoring. He was the guy that really brought that secondary scoring to another level. That injury has hurt them. Campbell hasn't played that well, but I can see Edmonton being a team that just hangs around long enough to find it and get some guys, you know, maybe Kane comes back and all that stuff. Right. And it finds it, gets in, very dangerous team if they do. So but I don't think they find it enough to catch Vegas. Calgary is similar. Lots of talent there. The goaltending has not been as good as it was. You know, it was funny. I mean, Saros has come around. Shesterkin's been okay. He's been good. You know, his numbers look good, but not great. He's not what he was last year.
He's shown sparks, right?
Yeah, right. Markstrom really has struggled. Those are the three Vezina finalists last year, and not a single one would be even close to the Vezina vote right now. Maybe Shesterkin would be borderline top five, but I don't even think he's that, you know, at this point. Calgary's got talent again. Can they put it together? Can they, you know, I go back to what Brad Treliving said, you know, it's great. Nobody gives you this trophy or something like that. What did he say? Nobody gives you a trophy for winning the offseason?
Yes.
Something along those lines, right?
But, they did. But here's the thing with Calgary. Changing locations and moving, as I have done, it takes a while to adjust. And Markstrom the first year was awful in Calgary. Mm-hmm. He adjusted. But to use it big picture, they changed so much of their team that I think it takes a real three quarters of a season before everybody feels comfortable again. You'll see good players do good things, but I think we're a long way away from seeing the real Calgary Flames.
Ooh, same with the Florida Panthers, right?
Yes. I mean, yeah, a great example. Yeah.
Right. Same thing. They did a lot that obviously the big trade between the two teams, and Florida hasn't figured it out. Right. And you know, big issue is goaltending. Like it saves you. I mean, Shesterkin saved the Rangers for the first half of the season last year.
Yeah.
And it was the deciding factor in them even getting into the playoffs, because he could do that in the first half. Then they upgraded their team. They're not getting saved by Markstrom in Calgary. They're not getting saved by Bobrovsky or Knight, you know, in Florida. And it makes it much, much harder when you're trying to put the pieces together, put new pieces in and figure it out. Because like you said, it does take a little time here. So is time going to eventually run out on those two teams? That's the other question you have here, because, you know, you look at Calgary, Seattle's kind of come out of nowhere. Are they sustainable? Well, again, their goaltending is their question too. No question about it. Is that a sustainable team? We'll see. Calgary might have a longer runway to figure out than Florida does, because that division is much better than what you're seeing in the Pacific.
You know, a team that I would be wary of that we haven't mentioned is Los Angeles. If they ever get saves, like they're right there now within reach if they went on any type of run, but without any saves, they're a much better team than anybody's talking about.
Well, they're different than what we've seen for years from the Kings, right? For years.
Because the Kings are in Calgary.
Right. Exactly. Like for years, you'd see the Kings, you'd be like, grind it out. You know, I mean, Daryl Sutter, when he was coaching there, it's a 3-2 league. It's not a 3-2 league anymore. It's a 4-3 league now. And the Kings can score four, but they give up five. So
they can score eight and they give up nine.
They give up nine. I mean, that is the one game you look at. You're like, you know, I go back to that game with these two teams. Seattle, you're feeling, all right, they scored nine goals. Their offense was terrific. They gave up eight. And they needed nine to win.
Like and the guy went the distance and gave up eight.
He gave up eight.
And then won.
Then you flip it around to L.A. You're like, my God, we gave up nine goals. But we scored eight. Still didn't win. You know, like it's how do you feel? Like, and I loved Todd after that game. We're very confused. You know, that's basically what
he said. We're glad that we got a point out of it. No. And we'll move on.
It was very confused. But you're right about the Kings. They're Fiala makes them a deeper offensive team.
Yeah.
They are far more they're much better offensively.
Velarde,
now. Velarde. They're much better offensively. They got to figure it's just weird because you never figure the Kings are going to be a team that's got to figure it out defensively. They got to figure it out defensively. It's not just goaltending. It's everything else too. They got to figure out defensively, get saves. And you're right. They could be a dangerous team because I think people forget too. Like they went to a game seven last year. They got this team, which is not the kings of the Stanley Cup teams. I mean, you got a few pieces remaining from it. This team got playoff experience last year,
yeah,
and needs to build on that. And the only way to build on that is to kind of, you know, I don't want to say reverse the way they're playing, but, you know, you don't have to score eight every time. You know?
Well, again, if this season was last year, you'd be okay. LA's making some strides, still right. Got to tidy some things up. It's good, but they had took such a big jump last year. You're expecting everybody wants another big exactly. step, and yeah. those are hard. Well, to
and they're not alone, right? I mean, the Kings are that way. The Rangers are certainly that way. Yeah. I guess you could say Edmonton is that way, going to the Western Conference Final last season. So there's a, you know. I don't want to say Florida. Florida was building to what they did in the regular season last year. But, you know, there's a couple of teams in that boat that maybe overachieved. Maybe we were just fooled, you know?
Vegas is getting saves from an unexpected source going from last year to this year in Logan Thompson, who's been great. But the team that that is getting all the saves is Winnipeg. And you think that they're in jeopardy, and it's a really competitive division.
Yeah.
It's so wide open in the Central, but they arguably have the best goaltender in the league right now.
Yeah. He's been
with terrific. Everybody else scoring goals.
Yeah. No. Yeah. The guys are scoring. They're winning games. I mean, they're not just pulling games out here. They're winning 5-2, yeah. 5-0. You know, they're winning going away as you can. And as much as going away as you can in hockey and the NHL. But I still think that the sustainability of those goals, scoring five a night, I find that hard to believe. And the other part is you've given up so much. Is Hellebuck just, I mean, is he just going to run out with steam?
Right.
And I think that's where, when you look at the division, Colorado is going to be around. They're going to be around. Bednar is a terrific coach. This is a huge test for them without all these guys, but they're going to hang around. Nashville's coming on. Saros is playing way better. He's 6-0-1 in his last seven. They're 6-1-1 in their last eight. Dallas is much better. They're much more exciting. They're much more dynamic of a team. Minnesota's playing better. I'm still kind of wishy-washy on the Wild, but hey, they've won four in a row. They're playing better. They're starting to figure it out. Their power play is dynamic. Kaprizov's incredible, right? It's a hard division. It's the hardest of, you know, if you're the Metro and the Central are, you look at it too and you say, all right, those are the two best divisions, I think. But the Central to me is just, it seems just a tad bit harder with the way the teams are and the way they play in that division.
Will St. Louis make the playoffs or will Jordan Binnington get into a scrap? What is more likely?
The latter. they can't find themselves. I mean, even last night, even, you know, yeah. on the island, right? I mean, they're 5-1 and now it's 5-4 in the last couple of minutes of the game. And
it's stressful.
Like, oh my goodness.
Is like, even when you win, it's stressful. Yeah.
They've allowed 3 goals in a period. 8 straight games that you can't win that way. It's impossible to win that way.
How do you know that?
I saw a stat.
Oh, that's a good memory. I'm gonna steal that.
There you go. You don't have to steal. You can give me credit. I said it here.
No, by stealing it, I'm not giving you credit. I'm just going to flat out use it.
Oh, you can use it all you want. That's fine. I mean, I didn't make it up. look, I wrote about this in my mailbag this week and we talked about it, Sean, that other guy, and I on our podcast, NHL at the Rink, by the way. The Binnington stuff, you can get away with it when if you're playing to a 927 as he did in his first year and they went on a run in the Stanley Cup, like now the storyline and the perspective of it is his emotion is carrying him. Right. His emotion is the big thing and his aggressiveness is a huge part of his game. And it's why he's successful,
which is logical for a lot of other athletes.
Right. But you can't get away with doing that when your penalty kill is 65%. You're playing to an 890 save percentage. You're getting pulled off the ice after giving up 4 and chirping the bench. You're not going back over for another shift. Everybody else is. Right. And that's like now it's like you're not helping your team at all. So when Craig Berube says stop the puck, he's just basically going back to the basics of the goaltending position. Just go stop the puck and stop worrying about all these other things that you want to you want to be aggressive. You want to just do your job, because when you do your job, we have a chance. Don't have to do the job of everybody else. Again, when everybody else is doing their job, you can kind of take these liberties here and there and be aggressive and allow your emotion, you know, occasionally it'll go overboard, right? It did for Ron Hextall. It did for a lot of guys, right? It happens. But when you're going the way they're going right now, rein it in, channel it to one thing, stopping the puck.
You've been in around dressing rooms long enough to have heard that phrase over and over for years. Just stop the puck.
Yeah.
I've never heard it from a coach publicly.
Yeah. It was great.
It's one of the most offered phrases from players to coaches to trainers to whoever. Just stop the puck, man. And then Berube offers it up. I'm like, whoa, that's different. We have McDavid, outstanding. Marner with his point streak. And Jason Robertson lighting the world on fire. What's the most interesting story for you individually?
Wow. Well, it's not McDavid because I expect it, you know, like,
but it's fabulous. I feel like he gets ripped off.
Well, he might. I mean, not if you watch him. I mean,
four point games all the time. Yeah. Like,
you're right. It's a ho hum thing with production. When you look at the score sheet, Connor's on again for 3 points, 4 points, right? Yeah. It's another ho hum when you actually watch him play. When you watch him play, it's just like, you're blown away. Like, oh my goodness. We had Daryl Ray on the podcast last week, Razor, and he was talking
about... That must have been boring.
Yeah. the human thesaurus he is. He was talking about Robertson, and he's like, he said something along the lines of like, he's scoring goals. He can't even believe he's scoring. He's just kind of from distance, up his arms going like, oh, how did that go in?
he scores from 40 feet. I'm like, what is going on?
It's crazy. His individual, what he's doing individually is... it's remarkable. And I remember his rookie year when he was fighting with Kaprizov, right, for the Calder and whatnot. And people were like, who's this Robertson guy? And we knew who he was, but it was like, whoa, you know, Kaprizov came over. He was the big story coming over from Russia, finally got there, has a huge season. Was it sustainable for Robertson? And it clearly is. I mean, he had 41 last year. He's going to score like 900 this season. It's clearly sustainable. He's one of the best goal scorers in the game right now. His release is excellent. He gets around the net when he has to. He can score from distance. His story and what he's doing individually is simply superb. But, you know, so to answer your question, it's Robertson.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But I still want to, like, Marner, to me, it's the all-around game. It's everything that Marner's doing.
They were going to use him as a defenseman at the start of the year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. I mean, he was going to play defense and he might eventually, who knows? It's in addition to all the production, it's everything else he does he should absolutely be in the running for the Hart Trophy and probably for the Selkie as well.
No, his point total isn't up there with the big boys. And I know you got to go, but he's only had a clean sheet twice this year. But his point streak, he's only had, he's never had more than 2 points during the point streak. But he hasn't had that wacko game.
He hasn't had the wacko game. He's got 27 points in the 20-game streak, right? I mean, so
you know that.
It's well over a point per game.
I knew that.
You could do that math. it's just consistency. But he also, he's playing about 3 minutes per game on their PK. Their PK is at about 80% this season, so it's good, all right? And he's back checking. He's all over the ice. It is remarkable, you know, how he has come along in his game, kind of understanding like the other guys that, like, Matthews is a terrific all around player too. And I don't think he gets enough credit, but like, everybody knows Austin Matthews is a goal scorer. Everybody knows William Nylander is the playmaker. Marner's kind of got to be that glue guy that does everything. And he recognized that and he's doing it.
He's their best player in my mind. I know the other guy scored 60.
Yeah.
I know the other guys.
He might be their most complete player.
Yeah. I loved hearing you talk about the MVP race. Say hi to Sean, console him for me. Tell him no hard feelings. Who? I just need to, he needs that Sean guy. Just work on his having a thicker skin. All right.
He does able to handle it. He's not, he's going to listen to this and he's going to be in a corner crying somewhere.
Well, based on all the plugs for At the Rink, I think you guys do 17 episodes a day.
Once a week, because that's all Sean can handle.
Rosie, thanks for this. Dan Rosen, the senior writer, NHL.com, and co-host of At the Rink. Be good, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man.
You know what I love about Danny? Danny's just, he's so easy going. He'll take all my little chirps, all my little barbs, and he turns it into really fun conversation. He doesn't get all worked up about it. I've talked to some people where after we're done, they're like, why'd you say that? Danny never says that, because mainly he's going off to do something else. He loses track of what's going on. But that's awesome stuff from Danny. You got to check out their podcast, At the Rink podcast. They had Nick Olchek on. I had to pause there and make sure I had the name right. Nick Olchek on, the studio analyst for the Seattle Kraken. He is the son of Ed Olchek. And I just came from the rink here in Vegas for the morning skate ahead of the Golden Knights game against the New York Rangers. And I was hanging out with Eddie Olchek. And now I come and I'm plugging Nick Olchek on At the Rink podcast. And Nick is really cool because he's living in Seattle, first year with the Kraken. And what the Olcheks are doing here, if you can follow all this stuff, they're selling me. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to sell me that Eddie, who's the game analyst when he's not doing TNT, he's crashing at Nick's apartment. Now, there's no way that that's Nick's apartment. I've seen the apartment. It's fabulous. It's Nick's first year doing this. He's not renting that pad. That is not Eddie's crash pad. That is Nick's crash pad, but he stays there more than Eddie. All right? I've been around long enough. I know Eddie. Eddie's not crashing anywhere. Eddie has the creme de la creme. And Nick, I'd be doing the exact same thing, buddy. Exact same thing if I could crash at a pad like that. But Nick's awesome. If you listen to it, close your eyes, because it's Eddie talking. It's really cool. I don't know whether you're one of those people that go, oh, your son or daughter, they look exactly like you. This is bizarre with the voice. It's surreal how much they sound, their cadence, their inflections, and knowledge, because Nick is right there, and we tend to text back and forth. It's kind of weird. I've known Eddie since he was a Winnipeg Jet. We've talked forever, since before texting, and we were in contact all the time. And now Nick and I are texting, and it's kind of weird when you're buddies with dad, and now you're buddies with the kid. It's strange, and it also makes you feel old. That's At the Rink podcast. Great job with Nick Olchek. What a cool journey that he started with the Seattle Kraken, and Ed's buddy, brother, is the assistant general manager there. So they got a good thing going with the Seattle Kraken. Also want to remind you to go back and listen to Howard Baldwin, who was on here at the Chirp podcast a couple of weeks ago. I think he stopped by over here at the Chirp. His story about the World Hockey Association is fascinating. Starting it up, a guy in his late 20s, early 30s, buying a franchise, getting involved in professional hockey. He ended up being the president of that with the New England Whalers, with the World Hockey Association, and the president of the league. And it's just a fascinating story about how it all came about. Listen to that episode of The Chirp, just for no other reason than the shame on you, Harold Ballard story. Just go back and listen to it just to go, shame on you, Harold Ballard. And I'll leave it at that. It's funny. It is funny. But Harold up there, shame on you. And then you've got the Slim and None series, the story of Howard Baldwin with the World Hockey Association. It's a podcast series. It's right beside the cereal in the podcast aisle. Pick it up wherever you get your great podcasts. And it's an outstanding trip down memory lane. And some of those teams are still active today in the World Hockey Association. Some of them have moved on to different places like New England, Hartford, and now Carolina, but the lineage and the contribution continues. Slim and None, the story of the World Hockey Association told through Howard Baldwin. Awesome stuff. Shame on you, Harold Ballard. that just, thank goodness it worked out for Howard. Listen to it. It's worth it. Appreciate it, Bob Bender. You pulling this together every week is so outstanding. And to Dan Rosen, stay strong, man. Don't let Sean O'Rourke boss you around. It's the Chirp Podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.